is now denying that Egypt's former president suffered a stroke or is in a coma. The doctor said Mubarak suffered a bout of low blood pressure. I'm Ron Allen.
How would an extra $700 to $3,000 a month affect your lifestyle? You could build a financial cushion, pay off some debt, save a little, maybe take a nice family vacation. Wouldn't it be nice just not to have to worry about money all the time? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby from the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. For over 10 years, we've been helping families add extra income to their budget by building a 3-Step Plan Home Business. We would like to send you a free video that will show you step-by-step how to add $700, $3,000, or even more extra income using your telephone and the Internet. This video will also show you how you could save thousands of dollars on your taxes and get a bigger tax refund every year. To get this free video, go to 3stepusa.com. That's 3stepusa.com or call 800-480-2102. That's 800-480-2102.
Interstate 405 in California, one of the nation's busiest freeways, is reopening hours ahead of schedule. The 10-mile stretch of 405 in Los Angeles was shut down midnight Friday so crews could take down a bridge. Transportation officials warned of possible traffic jams. It was called Carmageddon, but it never happened. The mayor of Los Angeles thanked contractors and the public for paying attention to the signs about staying off the roads. The heat wave that has seized the central United States is unrelenting, and perspiring residents shouldn't expect any relief soon. Forecasters are saying advisories and warnings for heat are in place in 17 states. That's from Texas to Michigan, as temperature and humidity combine to make being outside uncomfortable, possibly deadly, for many people. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
If you are over the age of 30 and are serious about losing 1 to 2 pounds a day, please stay tuned to this important announcement. A local market trial is starting now for an incredible weight loss breakthrough called HCG Extreme. We are looking for 200 people to receive this risk-free trial. HCG Extreme is not a fad, gimmick, or diet craze. It simply helps reduce cravings, therefore you eat less.
To find out how to get your bottle of HCG Extreme risk-free, call now. 1-800-605-1672. That's 800-605-1672.
Correspondent Julie Walker says Democrat Senator Charles Schumer of New York wants airlines to reimburse passengers for baggage fees when passengers' luggage is lost.
Baggage fees can range from $25 to $100, and under a new rule set to take effect in August, the airlines only have to give you back that money if your luggage is lost forever, which rarely happens. But New York Senator Charles Schumer says airlines also need to reimburse flyers for late luggage, which is more common. If airlines don't pay up when the bags don't show up on time, Schumer says he'll introduce legislation that forces them to reimburse passengers. Julie Walker, New York.
Mark Lewis, the lawyer for the family of the murdered schoolgirl, Millie Dowler, whose phone was hacked, said he's angry about Rebecca Brooks' arrest 2 days before she was due to answer questions regarding the phone hacking. Courtesy Sky News.
I think it's an incredible bit of timing. I think it gives this impression that those questions can't be answered. If she would have been asked some weeks ago, it would have been possible to have answered questions and to go round it, or if she'd have been arrested shortly afterwards.
British Parliamentary Cultural Committee member Theresa Coffey said she's disappointed that Rebecca Brooks might not appear before the committee to answer questions on the phone hacking. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, First of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you?
Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We have a great show lined up for you today. Peter and I have been reading a new book by multi-best-selling novelist Dean Koontz. It is entitled A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie. Besides probably being the most unscary thing he's ever written, you will want to know how this very special dog transformed Dean and his wife, Gerda. But first, a friend recently sent us a link to an amazing video depicting the rescue of a whale in the Sea of Cortez. This amateur footage, taken when our guest, his wife, and colleagues just happened to come across this whale on the brink of death, was so amazing that we just had to contact him and get him on the show. And his name is Michael Fishback, co-director of the Great Whale Conservancy. You may recognize his name because he's a former professional tennis player. But for the past 20 years, Michael has been working with large whales, and in particular, the blue whales. Welcome, Michael.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, Michael, first let's start with this incredible video, which is entitled Saving Valentina. Valentina. You can find it on YouTube. Michael, what happened that February day?
Well, we were just cruising along in the Sea of Cortez, a normal February day. I've been doing it for the last 15 years, and we had spent the morning with blue whales, which is always a wonderful morning to have, and we're on our way to a quiet beach, island beach, to have lunch, and I saw a brown object in the water that was probably a little over a mile away. I have pretty good long-range vision. It was small, and it just didn't look like it belonged in the desert environment. It looked more like a piece of a floating tree or something, but there are no trees there. So we went over to investigate, and as we got closer, I had sort of this feeling in the pit of my stomach that it was a dead whale. And we got quite close, and I became more convinced that it was a dead whale because I saw no movement. And we actually stopped the boat probably about 10 or 15 meters from the whale and sat there for close to 3 minutes. And I could tell that it was a humpback whale. And I told everyone on board that I thought the whale was dead, but that we would sit there. And then suddenly the head just moved up a very little bit, and there was a forceful exhalation. And the whole day changed after that. So should I go on with the story at this point?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so the whole day changed. It was a humpback. We could see a huge amount of gill net wrapped around the rear of its body, and we couldn't really tell, you know, exactly what was going on because there was, you know, the water was calm, but there was a few little ripples in the water. So I decided to put my gear on and go in the water and see what the situation was, assess the situation, and it was incredibly bleak. This animal, you know, humpback whales are those whales that have the big, long pectoral fins. Megaptera nova angelae is their Latin name. That means the winged New Englander. They literally look like they're flying in the water. They have 12-foot-long pectoral fins that weigh 1,000 pounds each. And those pectoral fins were completely pinned to the side of the whale's body. It was a young whale, about 30 feet long, probably 1 to 2 years old. And there was so much netting around the tail that the tail was pinned about 15 feet below the surface of the water, and the animal could not move its pectoral fins, and it could not move its tail. It could only really move the front of its body, its head, to get up to breathe, luckily. So, gosh, you know, the story could go on and on, but what I did was I went with a knife to the... Well, first I went to meet the animal's eye to say hello to the whale, eye to eye. And when I say eye to eye, I mean I was less than a foot from the eyeball of this whale. And I was watching the pupil move to follow my movements. And that was quite a moment for me. And I just tried to let the whale know that we were there to help. And then I went to the back. The net was forward of the dorsal fin, and I started cutting the net off the dorsal fin because that was a safe place on the body to work and to start to free some net. Really, to make a long story short, I started working near one of the pectoral fins and didn't feel real comfortable because that's a very powerful part of the whale's body. And my boat mates were able to get some of the net that I had cut off the back, you know, around the dorsal fin, onto the boat, and I got back on the boat, and everybody started working from the boat, which was, you know, really the way to do it. And, you know, to make a really long story short, because we don't have forever, after some exciting surfaces near the boat and actually getting pulled on a little Nantucket sleigh ride by the whale, we were able to free the whale. And, you know, that is really making a long story short, but this animal didn't have a chance without us. Yeah. Wouldn't, I don't think, have survived another day.
A couple questions. That was pretty courageous, by the way, considering one movement of the whale could just kill you, Michael. Why was this whale entangled in a fishing net? Whose net is it?
Okay, it's a very good question. I think, you know, this is sort of a semi-third world situation down in Mexico. I think we even have some of them in the States. But, you know, it's not a wealthy area. And it's an area that also happens to be protected. It's a Mexican national park. But I think in the world, as you travel around the world and you find areas where there is protection and things like these fishing nets are illegal, at least at certain times of the year, you will find the following situation. The following situation will be local fishermen who need the money will go out, and when it gets dark, they will deploy nets like this. This was a 200-foot by 12-foot net. Then, just before it gets light, they will pull these nets in with their catch so nobody can see what they're doing. Now, obviously, whales can get stuck in nets like this in the dark, just like they can in the daytime, and especially young, inexperienced humpback whales with big appendages like 12-foot-long pectoral fins have a tendency to get stuck in nets like this. It's very tragic because these are spectacular lives that can end very quickly on one of these nets.
The end of the video, Michael, shows an amazing display given by the whale. What do you think the whale is doing, and what is she saying?
Well, you know, usually I shy away from saying definitively what a whale is doing because it's so often hard to know, even if we spend, you know, years around these animals, exactly what they're doing. But I will go out on a limb and say that in this instance, after we really grab this animal from complete imprisonment and, you know, sort of certain death, I would say that the animal was doing two things clearly. It was exhibiting the joy of freedom, and I'll go out on a limb and say that it was giving us a show as well, and a show of thanks, because there was clear cooperation from the whale when we started to free her, and it was she was part of it. So I'll go out on a limb and say that.
It sure looked to me, or to a viewer, that that's what the whale was saying. It's Saving Valentina, and it's on YouTube, and you got to see it. I mean, it's really an incredible, beautiful video, and it made me cry. Michael, let's now go to the Great Whale Conservancy. What is its mission?
Well, its mission is really to to help ensure the fact that the great whales of the world, and let me just backtrack and say that there are 14 species of great whales in the world, and it's not a scientific definition, it's just more of a generic definition. They are the 13 species of baleen whales, which include the blue whales and the humpbacks, and the sperm whale is the only toothed whale that is considered to be a great whale. The mission of the Great Whale Conservancy is to really just ensure and protect the habitat that these animals use, the important habitat, so they can continue to have their lives, their normal lives, in a healthy environment. We definitely focus on the blue whale much more than any other species. And, you know, that's the sort of generic description of what our mission is.
Now, please explain how ships are injuring and killing whales along the coast of California.
Yeah, it's a very serious issue. What we've come to understand, and when I say we, I talk for the scientists. I have done thousands and thousands of hours of scientific research with some of the most prominent scientists, and some of it is just in conversation, and I'm really going, you know, over to them a little bit in this conversation as well, because their work is extremely valuable. And what we've learned, we, the people that work with these great whales, is that when they're feeding these huge animals that are feeding on small krill, you know, tons and tons and tons of small krill, when they get around really big concentrations of krill in feeding season, such as occurs off the coast of California, they are pretty oblivious to everything else that's going on. They are really focused on that food, and they need to be focused on that food. And unfortunately, off the coast of California, we have some of those feeding grounds that the whales are going to come to. They're not going to stop going to where that food is. And they are exactly in the same spot in certain areas as the shipping lanes are.
I'm going to interrupt you now. Michael, yes. This is a good time to take a little commercial break. We're going to come back. You're going to tell us what happens. We're speaking with Michael Fishback. He is the co-director of the Great Whale Conservancy. You're listening to Animals Today. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, how come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com, not geico.ridiculouslysimplesavings or geico.payyourbill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, gecko man.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us, business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child. and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Back to the show. We are speaking with Michael Fishback, co-director of the Great Whale Conservancy. And before the break, I asked Michael how ships are injuring and killing whales. And Michael was telling us how the whales feed on the krill. Michael, please continue.
Okay, so it's a really simple story. We have large whales feeding on krill, focusing on the krill. We have large ships that are so big that those whales are like a little squirrel compared to a car, compared to those ships. And they are focused on getting to port. The ships can't see the whales, and a lot of times this happens at night because the whales are at the surface more at night because their food is at the surface more at night. Whale doesn't pay attention to ship, doesn't realize ship is coming in time. Ship hits whale. Serious injury or death instantaneous. No one on ship ever feels it, even if it's a blue whale. Never feel it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I could be on a cruise ship. And if I cruise from Long Beach up the coast while I'm relaxing on the deck, Michael, that very ship could be killing whales?
Well, yeah, but I think it's much more likely to be something like a cargo ship or, you know, a gigantic cruise ship, you know, those ones with thousands of people on it, because those ships can't see the whales. And, you know, the cargo ships are probably the larger problem here. And, of course, there's no ill intent. No one on any of these ships wants to kill a whale or hit a whale. It's never done on purpose. But something needs to be done to change the situation.
Michael, how do you know this is happening and how frequently does it occur?
Well, we know it's happening because of a couple of reasons. Number one, carcasses. We have whales that wash up, such as a 85-foot pregnant female that washed up off the coast of Half Moon Bay last year, a blue whale that expelled her unborn 17-foot calf. That's a tragedy. The other way that we know that it's happening is we have scientific researchers that are out there studying this situation, monitoring the whales themselves with non-invasive suction cup tags that show us exactly where the whales go. And we can compare that even at night to where the ships are and see how many close misses there are. So we have carcasses, known deaths, lots of close misses, and certainly many bodies that we never discover. That's the scary part.
It sure is. And now you have this great new promotional campaign involving a huge prop. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, we think that the only way in the short term, while these whales are getting killed, we want it to stop immediately. We think that the only way in the short term that this is really going to happen, because there's been plenty of high-powered meetings about it, is to get the public involved. How do you get the public involved? Well, first of all, the public in California has to know that blue whales are there. They have to know they're endangered. They have to know how magnificent they are, that they're the biggest animal that's ever lived on this planet, and they have to care about them. So we are going to create a life-sized blue whale float. Actually, it's going to be a mother and a baby. And we are going to bring it to the people of California, and we are going to try to get them engaged. And we think we are going to get a lot of them engaged. And we hope that we can turn the tide from public engagement, which is really the way a lot of these things should be turned anyway.
Can people visit you, Michael, at sea or go on whale adventures with you?
Yes, they can. With me personally, they can. I mean, not very many of them, but I go down to the Sea of Cortez every winter when the blue whales are down there. I've been doing it for the last 15 years. And you can visit me on my website or contact me from even the Great Whale Conservancy's got the email address there. And you can actually come down and spend a week with me, and we'll put you up and feed you and take you out to see the world's great whales in a very small boat, and you will be awed if you do that.
Now, it's a pretty new organization. What are your current needs?
Well, I think our current needs are really financial because we're just getting going. There's no question that we are going to be able to do what we intend to do more effectively with funds. I mean, the inflatable whale is a very expensive venture, just to, you know, as an example. And I think we need, you know, we need to tighten up, you know, our website and our you know, how we portray things, and we need, you know, we need friends. We need people that are really want to help us spread the word, because anything that we ever get done anywhere in the world is not going to be done without people wanting it to be done. We can't do it ourselves. We can only put the word out there. We're going to be doing some of the things that we end up doing in other countries, and we certainly can't just go there, even if we had millions of dollars at our disposal, and just get them done. So we need people to care. We need funds. We need people to care, and we need to, you know, probably tighten up our electronics, because the world is, you know, operates so electronically. And Saving Valentina is obviously a big shot in our arm. It's a real big help to us.
And we'll sure do what we can here on Animals Today to help you, Michael, too. Michael, do you have any opinions about marine parks? They're big business, and families love to see their performing killer whales and dolphins.
Marine parks, boy, that's a, you know, it's a real tough one, because, you know, you have to understand that my opinion is going to come from a person that sees so many of these animals in the wild. And when you're out on the water and you see, you know, pods of dolphins in the wild, you see maybe one of the greatest bits of joy and freedom that exists anywhere in the animal kingdom. I mean, having 100 or 50 or 1,000 or even 10 dolphins bow riding and swimming through the sea and jumping in the air, it's very difficult to spend time with these animals in the wild and want to know about them in captivity or feel or be able to feel good about them in captivity. So I, you know, it's just really hard for me to even think about it. I mean, unless it's an injured animal that couldn't survive in the wild. So, you know, but so that's really what I have to say. You know, I'd like to see these animals in the wild. I think that's where they belong.
Well, you answered it correctly. Otherwise, we were going to cut you off right then and there.
Oh, my God.
Michael.
I didn't even know that. You didn't prime me for that one.
You're on Animals Today. We are very much against captive whales and dolphins and using them for entertainment. Michael, what do you think about the work of Sea Shepherd? They actively try to disrupt commercial whaling by Japanese boats.
Right. Well, what I can say about the work of Sea Shepherd, I know some of the people that work at Sea Shepherd. They're wonderful people. I wish I lived in a world where the Sea Shepherd didn't have to do what they did. But this world can be pretty infuriating when you feel like you know what the right thing is, and it's really obvious what the right thing is, and years and years and years go by, and, you know, things just don't go that way. The International Whaling Commission can be an infuriating body, governing body, for the world's whales. So I have to give a shot of support. You know, I have to give my own support to the Sea Shepherd, and you know, I can't say that I agree with every single thing that they do, but I think so much of what they do is necessary, and we need to get this world to a place where it's not, where the Sea Shepherd is not necessary, because we manage things
Agreed.
Well enough on our own.
Yeah, so true. Michael, what can people do to help whales? And we only have 30 seconds left. And also, tell us your website.
Okay, website, www.eii.org/GWC. What they can do to help whales is care about them, let their politicians know that they care about them, be generous with the people that they think are the people that are doing the right job, whether it's us or someone else, doesn't matter. And just care and talk about it and let others know and spread the word.
Thank you, Michael Fishback, co-director of the Great Whale Conservancy. You're listening to Animals Today, which tackles the important issues concerning all animals, how they are treated by people, and their place in our society. And, of course, we promote greater respect for and kindness toward all living creatures. Don't go away. We have best-selling novelist Dean Koontz right here on Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Amdro Kills Ants presents The Household and Requiem. If you find yourself shrieking in disgust because ants are invading the harmony of your clean kitchen and home, you need Amdro Kills Ants bait stations and stakes inside and outside your house. Amdro Kills Ants is a bait ants love, so they eat it and die. And that's a tune that'll keep your house humming. Find Amdro Kills Ants' entire line of products at a Walmart near you.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We are now very pleased to welcome novelist Dean Koontz to the show. Most of you will probably know that Dean is an internationally acclaimed author, having sold more than 400 million copies of his books in 38 languages. Rolling Stone has hailed him as America's most popular suspense novelist. Not only does his new book, A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie, tell the story of how a dog can make a family complete, but we are provided significant glimpses into the personal lives of a couple you'd probably want to hang out with. Hi, Dean.
Good morning, or afternoon, okay. Or whatever it is. I'm in a blur right now.
Okay, so Dean, you have departed from your usual genre and have given us a really nice story about your family and an exceptional golden retriever named Trixie. Tell us about Trixie and how she came into your lives.
Well, for many years, we worked with an organization called Canine Companions for Independence, which provides service dogs for people with disabilities. And it's a marvelous organization. You get to witness how the human-dog bond works at its most perfect, and you see whole lives transformed. People with severe disabilities like quadriplegia or paraplegia sometimes couldn't live alone, but with one of these dogs are able to, and whose whole lives are changed by it, not just because of the assistance the dog gives, but because of the emotional well-being the dog provides the person and the connection it gives them, the socializing connection to the world. And they kept saying to us at CCI, why don't you take one of our release dogs? And we kept saying, we just don't have time right now. And one day I said to my wife, but we're going to be 90 saying we don't have time right now. Let's just take the plunge and do it. So we said, okay, let's send us one of these and put us in touch with one. Let's see if we could work it out. And that turned out to be Trixie, who had been fully trained as a service dog, was in service for 6 months, and then developed an elbow problem and had to be taken out of service. And when she'd had her surgery and she was being released, she came with us, and we had her for the next 9 years. And we were expecting it to be fun and a wonderful relationship, but I wasn't expecting this dog to totally transform my writing life and my life and profoundly affect who I was as a person, but that's what happened.
I would imagine that when you're Dean Koontz, you can just tell your publisher that the next book is going to be about your pet, and you don't have to convince anyone. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I wish it were that way. Sometimes that is not how it works. In fact, normally that's not how it works. But in this case, I knew I was in the middle of a book called The Darkest Evening of the Year, the background of which is Golden Retriever Rescue. And that book was halfway done when Trixie passed, and I was so profoundly affected by her passing that I was blocked for 5 weeks on Darkest Evening. I couldn't write a word, and that was the first time in my life I ever had writer's block. So after I finally managed to finish Darkest Evening by doing it more as a tribute to her, I realized when somebody has that profound an effect on you and leaves you that grief-stricken, you must write about that. You must explore it, and you must understand it. If you're actually a writer. And so I just said, this is what I've got to do. And, you know, I'll write it. And if you don't like it, you don't have to publish it.
Now, you describe a number of instances demonstrating how intelligent she was. But even more remarkable, I thought, was her ability to read other beings, both other dogs and people. Explain a little bit about her abilities.
Well, I think she... In many ways, of course, we all think our dog is the most exceptional on the planet. I think if we really focus ourselves on watchdogs, we'll discover they're a lot more intelligent and a lot more perceptive than even the experts often say they are. And in Trixie's case, I learned to trust her take on people. She loved people like golden retrievers generally do, but there were some that she loved more than others. And then one day there was this person I had done business with long distance who was involved in my publishing life, but I'd only ever seen once or twice. And it was when this person and other people from the company were here and we had dinner together. And one day this person said, I'm coming out there and I'd like to have lunch, and it would just be me. And I really want to meet Trixie, because Trixie was not somebody had been with us prior to that, so these people hadn't met her. Well, this person I'll call X. X came to the house to meet Trixie before we went to lunch, And for the first time ever, Trixie refused to come into the living room or to go anywhere near this person. I couldn't coax her. I couldn't draw her to get near. And finally, I was very embarrassed. I said, I don't know. There must be something wrong. She mustn't be feeling well. Well, we went to lunch, and at lunch, over lunch, I discovered why Trixie wanted to keep a great distance from this person. At that time, we had a getaway house that was on the beach, and this person said, I want to go down and see your beach house next, and I'm coming back in the summer and staying there for 2 weeks. I want to have a lot of parties. And I didn't understand. You understand? I didn't even know this person hardly at all. And it deteriorated from there to the point where I kept eyeing the cutlery on the table for fear I was going to get stabbed with it. And I went home and I looked at this dog and I said, you knew there was something really wrong with this person. And she exhibited that kind of ability to read people and other dogs all her life. But I think many dogs probably have that same ability. It doesn't mean they are always great judges of character, but they are very perceptive, and more so than we are many times.
It's true, and it's so incredible. Dean, as Trixie became a greater part of the family, your writing was influenced. How did this manifest, and at what point did you realize it was occurring?
Well, it took a while for me to realize it, but when she came with us, I would put it this way, that when you've been working your life and you've been around a long time and your career is built, but you've spent a lot of time building it, you get sort of distracted from the world. You start losing track of how wonderful and beautiful and wondrous the world is and how full of mystery it is. And that happens because you get cynical. People in your business life aren't always who you wish they were, and they do things that you're shocked to find they've done to you, and you get cynical, and cynicism really bleeds out our sense of wonder about the world. And I had sort of gotten there without recognizing that that's where I was. When this dog came into my life, she was so ebullient, so full of joy, and so full of wonder about everything. Dogs, you can take the same walk 1,000 times in your own neighborhood and forget to test, you stop looking at anything. With dog, that's never the case. Every walk through the same territory is always a new experience. And she makes you kind of stop and focus and look, wow, look at that. Look at the beauty of that. Look at the interestingness of that. And she opened my eyes to the wonder of the world again, and I began to see how I had lost that. And for a writer, that's a very bad thing. You need to keep that sense of wonder in order to draw the reader into a story that you're telling. And I started reacquainting myself with the wonder and the mystery of the world, and that started affecting my work, and the work got more ambitious, more successful, in fact, and I was happier with what I was writing. And that all happened, I think it probably took me halfway through the first book it was happening with to realize it was the dog that was pushing me this way.
Now, you've been criticized for attributing human qualities to dogs, perhaps more than is deserved. How do you respond?
I'm always sort of amazed at that. We're often told by some experts, dogs don't have the same emotions we do. We just look at their reactions to things and imply or infer that those reactions are ours and that they have our emotional content to them. Well, I'm sorry, but that might be a way to look at it in a laboratory or from an animal sociologist or anthropologist point of view. But if you really give your heart to a dog, you're not imagining those emotional states. Anyone who's loved a dog and been very close with one knows that they do have emotions compatible to ours, and it's very easy to see them. You can absolutely detect their joy. You know when they're sad, and you often can tell why they're sad. They certainly know your emotional state and respond to it. So it just kind of baffles me that some people just don't want to believe that animals can be, especially dogs who have had such a long history with humanity, could be very much like us in many ways. There's a desire to keep that distance, to keep that sense of superiority of the human being over the animal in every regard, which in some cases simply isn't true.
Dean, there's an instance in which you speculate that Trixie may have spotted a ghost in your house. What happened then, and is a ghost still your best explanation for her behavior?
Well, we were sitting up in bed one night reading the newspaper, and we were just about to turn off the light. I had to get up and turn off the hall light and close the door, and suddenly asphyxia, exploded off her mattress and went running into the upstairs hall. And that triggered me that somebody must be in the house because she never did anything like that. And I went into the hall to see where she'd gone, and she was standing in the hall looking up at about eye height, and at like somebody might have been 6 foot tall. She stood looking there, and I said, "What is it, Trixie?" And she would pay no attention to me. And suddenly she started moving and her tail wagging and her still looking up, and she went into Gerda's office, which was on that floor, and walked around the room, but never looking at anything, looking at this, to me, invisible figure. And she toured two more offices, mine and our assistants, and further along the hall, always looking up at this, always wagging her tail, and I couldn't distract her from it. And about halfway through this episode, I began to realize she sees something I don't. And what it was or is, I'll never know, but this went on for quite a while. And when it finally stopped, she lowered her eyes and shook herself and looked at me and went trotting back to bed. And I went in with my wife. I think she just saw a ghost.
Don't go away. Dean Koontz, his book is A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie.
Oz.org.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical, and fire alert and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Dean Kuntz. His book is A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie. What a wonderful book it is. Dean, explain the title of the book, A Big Little Life.
Well, we were mentioning earlier that she sort of changed the kind of thing I wrote, and it became more ambitious. And the first book I wrote when she had been with us a while was a book called From the Corner of His Eye. And From the Corner of His Eye's ultimate theme is that everybody's life affects lives they will never know, that something you do, a kindness to one person, gets reflected through many lives because that person may pass it forward. Or a bad or evil thing you do can be affect otherwise in lives in a negative way, that you will never know those people or never realize that what you've done has affected them. And that was a very difficult book to write because it's a difficult theme to express and show without hammering the reader over the head. But when I came to write about Trixie, I realized, you know, I by then realized that book and many that followed it were influenced by, strongly by her change, forcing me to change direction by her example in my own writing. And so the title of A Big Little Life reflects sort of the same thing, that here's this little dog of 60 pounds. In a big world and a short life, because unfortunately they live short lives, but nevertheless, on a short life and a small creature, she profoundly affected me, affected my work, affected my wife, and so while she was little, it was a big life, because as I say in the book, life should be judged its success on what good you do for other people, and she certainly did a lot of good for us, and for a number of people she met and who became really fans of Trixie's. And so I wanted to say in the book, not only did this little life have big effect, but that every life, we all in our lives sometimes think, boy, have I messed up. Boy, I thought it'd be something better or different than I am now. And we get depressed about ourselves sometime. And I wanted to say in this book, every life is a big life, no matter how little it seems to you at the time.
I love what you just said. Dean, Trixie told you that she wanted to be the only dog in the Kuntz family. Looking back, was she right? Could she have learned to get along with a few other dogs or even a cat or two?
She was very much a, she could have she was a she could have easily got along with other dogs. We had friends who would bring dogs and visit, and she always got along with other dogs. But there was always an expression there that I can remember once. Not long after we had her, we went to CCI, and it was we were doing a little promotional thing with CCI. And at one point, they asked me to get in the dog training in the kennel common area, and they released all these new puppies. And about 20, 30 puppies came running out of their things, and I was the only one there. I had a drop to my knees, and I was shortly wearing a puppy coat because they were all over me. And Trixie was standing on the other side of the fence, saw that happen, and turned her back on it. I was like, no, no, Dad, get away from that. But it would have been kind of fun, I think, to see her with another dog. Sometimes CCI has told me that you will bond. It's better to wait a couple of years because if you have two dogs right at the beginning, they will bond with each other as well as with you, and the bond won't be quite as deep with you. But if you do the bond with that dog first, then that will happen. So we should have, but we didn't, and it was a great three-way relationship, she, me, and my wife, Gerda.
You believe that Trixie possesses a soul. Do you think all dogs have souls, and all animals for that matter?
I'm no specialist in all animals in general, but I think I am a believer, and it's one of the things that Trixie did for me was take me from being a lapsed Catholic back to being one a believer again. And I'd never not believed, but I'd stepped away from a strong belief, and she brought that back to me by her example and by my absolute certainty that there was a soul there in her. And I have no doubt that dogs have souls, and I would be quite willing to contemplate that other animals do. I do think they may be of a different kind of soul, but I absolutely believe there's a Jewish belief that any animal that causes a person to do mitzvahs or good deeds for others then is an animal that whose soul becomes tied to that of the person and has a potential for everlasting life. And that is something I could easily believe. There is, within a wonderful dog, there is a personality. In any dog, there's a personality, each different from the other. And that right away tells me it's evidence of an individual, unique soul.
Your relationship with Trixie was and is clearly very special to you and Gerda, and Trixie clearly was a very intelligent dog. Do you think you experienced something exceptionally uncommon, or is this a typical American experience observed astutely by yourself?
I think it's a widely experienced thing. I've come to, after I wrote this book and started getting, when it was in hardcover, so much mail on it and had so much discussion with people about animals, I came to believe a lot of people experience this, but a lot of people don't because they don't open themselves to it. They see the dog as a pet, and that's fine, but if you see the dog as a companion, as a real, true member of the family, and open yourself to watching that dog and thinking about it and observing it in a different way, the rewards of that relationship become so much deeper and more amazing. And I think it's there for everybody who loves a dog if they just start to see the dog in a different way and start to think, there's a lot more going on here than I first realized. And that's when it becomes just an exhilarating experience.
Dean Kuntz, author of A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie. Visit him on Facebook, where he has over 1 million friends. The website is deankuntz.com. Dean, thanks